We're glad to have our church back to full strength. We got all of our missionaries. I should check. Did we get them all back? Did they all come back? Okay, good, good. When they're not all necessarily at full strength. Some of them came down with a little bit of a bug, but we're glad to have them back. And we're glad to have you all here today, whether you're here in person or you're watching online. Welcome. And we're just looking forward to what the Lord's going to do today in our midst. So if you're new with us and you're not used to how we worship, we like to start off our time with a little bit of worship and prayer before we get into the main part of our day. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll dive into worship. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for today. Thank you for bringing all of our missionaries home safely. And Lord, pray that that they would be blessed, Lord, for their efforts, for your kingdom, Lord. I know that oftentimes when I've been on a mission, we expect to go and bless people's socks off, but we come back so much more blessed by them than we could have ever hoped to bring to them. And so, Lord, I pray that that's the same for our missionaries that just returned. Lord, thank you for today and that we can gather here together in this place, in this church. And Lord, we're excited to be with each other and to have fellowship with each other and with you. And so, Lord, we pray that as we come in, that we would be able to just leave behind the distractions of the world and the things that compete for our time and for our attention so that we could truly focus on you and what you want to do in us today, Lord. So we thank you, we praise you, and we look forward to what you're going to do in your church today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's stand as we start our time off in worship, and we're going to sing this song called Stand in Your Love. All right.
Darkness tries to roll over my bones. When sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain is all I know. Oh, I won't be shaken. Oh, I won't be shaken. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Shame no longer has a place to hide. I am not a captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, there's power that can break off every chain. stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. I am standing on the rock. Oh, I'm standing. Standing in your love.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus, that we can stand before you and that we can stand in your love, Lord, and say that we are yours. And Lord, we're grateful for that. We're grateful for everything that you've done for us and continue to do. Lord, we're a grateful church. And we love you, Lord, and we praise you, and we look forward to everything that you're going to do today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hey, it's good to see you. Are you there? Good to see you. Yeah, there you go. Okay, yeah. It's good to see you. Well, it's been a bit, not too long, but it feels like forever whenever we're gone. So I'm glad to come back and give you a little bit of a report of what has taken place. We're going to do that today in this service and then talk with you a little bit about what maybe God has to say to you about missions also. But first, before we do that, we have a few things we want to clarify. Today is Jan Backman's memorial service. It's going to be right after church, actually starting at 12:15. So we have some food and refreshments out there right afterwards so you can eat and then come back inside and we'll celebrate her life together and do that with her family and her church family. Also, January 30th, Women's Prayer Gathering, 7 o'clock at the Cuppins home. And this means that there is not a Monday night women's prayer meeting because of this gathering. So just do make sure that you ladies check your bulletin, this thing, and you're up to date so you don't show up at the wrong place at the wrong time. February 5th, there's a potluck. That's next week. So we'll have a potluck right after church and some time of fellowship together. Hopefully we can all enjoy that together and we'll do that then. And make sure that you stay if you can. And if you are interested in doing some of the disaster relief mission work, we're going to have that meeting right after church next Sunday. So even if you say, hey, you know, I'm curious, I don't know if I want to commit, well, this is the meeting to show up to, because you're not committing by coming to the meeting. You're getting information, kind of preparing yourself to pray with some others, and maybe even figure out how you can get involved, even if you don't go on the trip itself. February 17th, there's a couples dinner. This is our Valentine's Church event at Spaghetti Warehouse. It's $45 a couple. If you could sign up today, it would really help us because we have to reserve some area and space there at Spaghetti Warehouse, and they need to know how many of us are coming, so we kind of need you to let us know today. If you have difficulty with that amount, would you just please come and talk with me or somebody else in the church staff area and let us try to figure out how we can work that out. February 17th through 18th is an event called Vertical Line. It's 26 hours of prayer and worship. Again, if you're interested in that, there's a flyer on the info table. February 22nd, Ladies Night Out and Dinner at 5 p.m. at the Golden Corral, and then the movies at 7. Now, that was a group deal, and the group part has expired, but if you still want to show up, you can do that. You just simply need to let Marie know, and we'll get you in there with the rest of them. But I'm really excited about the movie they're going to go see. If you haven't seen that at all, the Jesus Revolution movie, there's trailers to it now. You can look it up. I just think it's one of those that everybody should go and see, even if you don't want to crash the ladies' party, guys. So I would encourage you to do so. Let's take a minute and pray together, shall we? All right. Lord Jesus, thanks for letting us come back together and to worship in this place. Being with you is the greatest part of our entire life. But to be able to come together with your people and the church and to worship you together is a pretty amazing experience. And we just want to give you praise and thanks and glory and honor for letting us have this experience of a body of Christ, a bunch of believers together, serving the Lord Jesus Christ together, glorifying God the Father, and standing side by side as we walk through this life waiting to get home. And so with that, Lord, we want to pray according to your word. And your word says to pray for the leaders of our nation and for the nation itself. And as always, Lord, we know that this is one of those transitions, setting the stage, the curtain for the final days of the church. And we see some difficulties. We see some leadership across the world and in our nation, which is just godless. It's painful to watch, actually, Lord, because we see the impacts of that upon our children and upon the family unit and upon morality and upon how we can stand in the liberty and freedom that you've given us. And so, Lord, part of us wants to just pray immediately that you would remove the ungodly from leadership positions. And we do. We ask that, God, that you would take them out of that position and that you would replace them with godly leaders, people who hear your voice, who read the word, who are inspired by your Holy Spirit to live and move and have their being in this world. And we ask that, Lord. We petition you today for those kind of leaders. Well, Father, we also ask for those leaders who are ungodly that you would turn their hearts, that you would grab their attention, that you would wake them up and shake them up and break them up and do whatever it takes to make sure that they're not eternally lost because of their rebellion towards you. And so we ask, Lord, take them out of their position, but bring them to salvation. And Father, we want to pray for the citizens of our nation and the churches in our nation, because we realize that there's a lot going on that doesn't concord with being godly at all. It's unrighteousness in every degree. It's heartbreaking, God. And yet we know you have your purpose and your plan in allowing it to move. I think of Habakkuk and the difficulty that he was encountering as he was watching his nation be ungodly. And Lord, your promises are that you'll stand with your people. But we're concerned, Lord. We're concerned with those who believe that all these other realities that are not biblical are going to somehow end up with a good outcome. Those who are in the gay and lesbian lifestyle and proclaiming that it's a godliness, and the transgender and the pedophilia in the indoctrination inside of our schools, in the deception in our government, in the movement toward a one-world government, which believes in you wiping out the population, just reducing the numbers of people as if they were not important to you at all. And so, God, we come to this place and we just ask that you would lead us now as we pray by your power of your Holy Spirit over what area to pray for, that godliness would return to this nation. There would be a love for you, God, a respect and an honor, a thankful heart that would come from people everywhere as they look at creation. We just ask, God, would you lead us now as we pray? And Lord, we want to pray right now as the church that you would open our eyes as to what the mission field is. Where is it, Lord? We see so many homeless. We see so many who, as we've already talked about, are in alternatively sexualized lifestyles. And we know, God, that you love them. You want them to come to salvation. You want them to be with you. You want to heal them. You want to love on them and bring them into eternity with you. And we're just asking right now, even as we pray, that you would open our eyes and show us what the mission field is right now. And we really want to hear from you, God, because often I think what happens is in our frustration and in the difficulty that we see and the damage it does to the family and to the church and to the community, that sometimes we treat those who are the mission field as though they're unlovable. And that is just simply not the case. Father, right now as we pray, would you just speak to each one of our hearts and show us what the mission field is, maybe as the church, maybe as individuals, and help us to have a supernatural love for the broken and lost, for we too once were broken and lost, and it's your supernatural love that saved us. And so we pray. And Lord, we want to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we heard last night of many, many drone attacks in Iran trying to destabilize nuclear facilities and other pieces. And we know that the heat, the temperature there between the nations is getting red hot, ready to explode. And we just ask, Father, that you would bring peace in the heart of your chosen people. The nation of Israel, you'd speak to them and they would hear you and you would tell them of their Messiah who has come, who has died for their sins, who loves them with an unquenchable love, God, and that they would hear. And by the droves, they would just come and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, we want them to come to salvation soon. We know as we read through the book of Revelation and the tribulation, 2/3 of the Jewish people who are on the earth during that time will die. Lord, that number is staggering. It's heartbreaking. It's nothing we want for them. It's nothing you want for them, more importantly. And we know that they cannot have peace apart from the Prince of Peace. We're praying for the people in Jerusalem to know you today. And we're praying for you to come and establish your kingdom upon this earth where there'll be peace forever. And so we pray. Lord, we want to pray now for the persecuted church, for our brothers and sisters everywhere, including in our own nation. Well, my heart is really drawn toward Canada right now, Lord, as I'm watching what's happening and the elevation of persecution against the believer is on the rise, where there's great conversation in government about dying with dignity, which means assisting the developmentally disabled in suicide right now. And now the conversation is moving to dignity and death for the homeless. And Lord, we just see this flood of dissipation, this uckiness moving across the earth. And we want to pray for our brothers and sisters to stand strong in the gospel, to be unmoved, unwavering, proclaiming the truth regardless of the temporal cost in this earth. We want to pray, Father, that you would strengthen them with all might in whatever nation they're in, that they would feel the prayers of the saints, but more importantly, the prayer of the mediator. That's you, Jesus. That they would know that they're cared for. They're not forgotten. Empower them spiritually with something beyond our imagination that they could witness even to their persecutors, and the gospel could go out. And we pray. And finally, Lord, we want to pray for whoever you would place on our hearts and minds right now. And we know there's a bunch of us in this room, and we know you'll speak to each one of us differently. And we just ask that you would lead us into who we're to pray for and how we're to pray, giving words of knowledge, understanding that doesn't come from conversations with men, but from revelation of the Holy Spirit given to each one of us. And so we wait upon you, upon the Holy Spirit, to lead us now as we pray. Lord, we want to thank you for our time together. We realize that lots of things have just happened. Spiritual warfare has just happened. Worship and praise, bringing glory to our King, has just happened. Strengthening of the inward man or inward woman in each one of us by communing with you in the Holy Spirit and hearing and listening, by entering into the throne room of heaven, we realize so much has been accomplished in just this short period of time. And we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for all the things we could come and lay at the foot of the cross. Things of heaviness, things of concern, offerings of praise. We just give you glory because you're the only one worthy of any of it. And we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, let's do this. Go ahead and rise up. Say hello to somebody. Give them a big hug, unless you got a cold or something. And then we'll come back and we'll dive into the Word. Thank you. All right. Hey, if you'll go ahead and grab your seats again, we're going to jump on in. All right. We're going to do things a little different today because we just got back from a mission trip. So we're going to spend a little time talking about what happened in El Salvador. As you know, as a church, we've been investing there for several years now. Honestly, we've been sending down about $3,000 every 3 months to help them in their evangelistic outreaches and in the way that they've been feeding the churches. It all started when COVID took place, and their government shut down and didn't have any of the benefits that ours did. And so you had lots of people who just barely survived anyway, who couldn't get out, couldn't get food. There was no income. Even when we were down there just now, we had people working, and they work an entire day really hard for about $25 a day. But what you're going to find when you go to El Salvador is the currency is U.S. currency. It's all been shifted. So you don't have to exchange anything. You're using U.S. currency. And so when we go to restaurants in different places, the costs are pretty similar as to what you would see here. And think about the difficulty of making $25 a day, working as hard as you possibly can, and paying many of the same prices we'd have here. Well, you as a church, you've been supporting them. And when we started sending money to this sister church, what's been amazing is they didn't just keep it. They went and negotiated with store owners and stuff and said, hey, if we buy in bulk, what kind of a deal could you give us? And so then the deals started happening. And then they started feeding two or three other churches, and then four or five, and then 12. And then walking out into the riverbeds carrying mattresses and food to places between the Guatemala and the El Salvador border, where there is really no country. It's a no man's land, and bringing the gospel. So we found these incredible partners, and we've been working with them, but this was our real first chance to get a mission team in there, and as you know, 17 of us went. And I gotta say, it was a wonderful experience. So what we wanna do today is we wanna fill everyone in with what was accomplished, at least in part. We want to give you insights into what the working of a mission trip looks like. I mean, when we say mission trip, what's really going on there? And we want to let you hear from the different ways that you prayed and that we prayed that God opened doors and made meetings and set up divine appointments because he did this very thing for us. And we want to do this to get all of us excited about either getting on mission, returning to mission, or starting on mission for the kingdom of God. Because as God's people, we are to be on mission. It's not just something we fly to. It's not just a place we go to. It's a lifestyle. It's who we are. We're constantly working to expand the kingdom of God here on the earth. So with that, I want to invite those who are speaking to come on up here today. Just come on up and stand over here in this area. And then we're going to get a chance to hear from each one of them. And then I'm going to give a shorter message so that you're not here. And it is shorter. I promise. I know all of you are already going, sure. No, it really is. It's going to be shorter. But first, we're just going to hear from each person and hear what their experience was. And then we might even have time for a little question and answer if you want. So I'm going to invite Nancy up here first. Come on, Nancy. You got it. Okay, let me push.
Hello, everyone. This was not my first mission. This was my second mission. My first mission was 38 years ago, a long time ago. I was a lot younger. And so life brings you to a different stage in life after kids and they're grown up and they can stay at home with dad or, you know, I have an autistic son at home. And so just knowing him and his dad, we're going to hopefully get along for the week or two. Made it possible for me to go. I didn't know if I was going to get to go. I signed up for it, but I didn't have a passport. So that was in the Lord's hands. It showed up a week before we left, so I was excited I actually get to go. So fast forward, I have a sister in Idaho who is not a believer, but she said I had posted something to just tell people I was going to be going and to be praying, and if they were interested in donating towards the mission, I would appreciate it. And my sister, who's not a believer, said, you're going to a third world country. I don't want you to go. Your son doesn't have his passport. Your husband doesn't have a passport. You're going to get sick and go to the hospital, and nobody's going to be there when you're sick. So fast forward, I ignored that and said, you know, God's in control. If I get my passport, I'll be going. So when I called her and told her I had my passport, I'm going, she freaked out and cried and hung up on me. So I had the enemy working even before we left, but I knew that if God wants me to be there, I'll be there. So now the day we're supposed to leave on Wednesday early, the FCC shut down the system so that the computers weren't working, and now my flight's canceled or postponed. We were supposed to leave at 12:30. It's now moved to 1:30. Well, that's okay. We'll still connect in Houston. Then it got moved to 4:30. Okay, we're not going today because Houston, we will not connect. And with a mom and a baby and a stroller and a car seat and all the suitcases we had, we could not do it without our husbands helping us to the to check in those bags. So anyways, the next day we were, so that morning we rescheduled and we were going to leave the next morning at 5, only to find out we're joining up with the other team that was leaving. And so our trip from Portland to Houston was with the other team. So that was the leg. Anyways, getting to Guatemala for me was a little bit different than the rest of the team. I went to El Salvador. I went to Guatemala first and then got to drive through Guatemala to El Salvador with Natalia and Sabra because Natalia's from Guatemala. So I got a little bit of experience there, got into El Salvador, knowing that we were going to be in a, as my sister said, third world country. My first mission was dirt roads, no windows. They were boards. You put a stick to hold the window up. You kick a ball, and all the kids come out. This had streets. This had, you know, glass on the windows. This had curtains. This had, you know, there was a lot more to this, to El Salvador, than what I had had in my first mission trip 38 years ago. So getting down there was great. We caught up. We went to Shelley's and Miguel's parents, the house that they have. That's where we met up with them. We unloaded everything out of Natalia's dad's car, and then the mission trip started. So we met up with Sunday. Sunday wasn't feeling very good, and so we were praying for her before she went to the doctor for a follow-up of just, you know, seeing that God was there. We knew God had us there for a reason. But in the same, things would happen, and we would need to pray for one another because the enemy wanted to, you know, interrupt, is how I look at it. But God prevailed. So for me, I was asked to do the children's, I signed up. I raised my hand and said, I'll work on the children's ministry. But here, I didn't know what that was going to look like there because this is groundbreaking mission work that we were doing as a team. It wasn't a place that already had everything set up of how missions were going to look, what they were going to do, who's doing what. It's as if you were with another large organization like I had been with Hugo Ministries when I went 38 years ago, or Pottersfield Ministries, or other ministries that are out there that you can go on Easter break and different holidays. So I kept meeting intending to meet with Georgina to find out what it was going to look like for the children's ministry. So Monday night happened. We were busy. It didn't happen. Tuesday, we had a women's group, so we didn't meet. Wednesday, we were going to meet. It was late. Thursday, we finally got together, and I was able to find out and talk to her and say, you know, what is your message that you're teaching at the parks that we're going to be going to? And she said, God loves you. And I'm like, okay, so God loves you. Every story in the Bible talks about how God loves you. In children's stories, you can go from, you know, Noah's Ark all the way. So I was puzzled by trying to figure out what they might have been teaching in Sunday school that I could tie it into to make the story, you know, build on what they're doing. I didn't get any of that. So it wasn't until Thursday night, Natalia and I are in the hotel outdoors talking, and we wrote our script for the puppet show. So when did we start the puppet show? That was Saturday afternoon. Did we have time? The Lord worked it all out, and it was fun. I will learn the language because they can ad-lib, or they can pick up the script somewhere else, but as a person who doesn't know the language, I'm like, where are you? Hello, I got a puppet up here. Where are you? So I was the Kringo in the puppet show. And Natalia, one time, she popped down and popped back up and said she went to the baño, you know, because the mouth of the puppet wasn't working and she needed to fix it. So I got little clips of what happened. But overall, it turned out, and God prevailed, and it was an amazing trip. The people there I fell in love with, and I'm sure they'll talk about the other aspects of it, but I look forward to going back. Jose, which is a pastor there, before I left, said he wants to do puppets with me when I come back. And I said, no, I left you a suitcase of puppets. And he said, no, I want to do puppets with you. I could just imagine what he'll ad-lib that I won't understand. So with that, I just want to give a scripture. And that, for me, I love Proverbs. And Proverbs 31 is one that I study every month. I want to be a good wife. And with that is, let me get there, sorry. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hand to the needy. I enjoyed reaching out to these families. It was quite an experience. So I look forward to going back. Thank you.
Good morning, Freedom Church. It's kind of fun being up here. I can see you better. I usually pray for you from the back of the church. So anyway, just a minute. Okay, he told me to talk about this trip, but I've been on a few trips. This was the bananas trip, and it wasn't just because of the people I was with. Another trip, the last prior trip was the COVID complication trip. Another trip to Central America was the near-death trip. But I'm only supposed to talk about this trip. I've only got 25 minutes, I guess, to talk. 10 minutes? Okay, adjustments. That's what you do on trips. You always make adjustments. So blessed are the flexible. Okay, let's see here. Have you got the grin? Are you fighting the sin? Do you know that you're in? Okay, with Jesus, you can win. All right, let's begin. So why do I go on a mission trip? Is it because I'm trying to be a better Christian? It can help when you get stretched and have to have faith. Am I trying to earn my way to heaven? No. It's because there's a job to be done. We need to be after the job, getting it done. So what was the job that we were doing? I've got, I think, only 5 points left. Anyway, so one of the in finding those jobs, what we're trying to figure out is how do we love people? How do we bless them? How can we help? And as has been said, we work alongside the local church and what they're already doing and try to be an assistant. So one task was to rebuild a house, and the outhouse is like from here to the back of the room away, and so there was a bathroom put in the house, so that was a lot of fun. I didn't really do much there. I helped a local guy named Mario, who was building the wall, whom I've been praying for. Another Mario in my life. I love the Mario here, but this guy I'm praying for, and I don't speak much Spanish, and he doesn't speak much English. And mostly, what I did was handed bricks up to him while he's putting them on the wall, and we both tried to work on each other's language, and he's learned a little bit of English, maybe not the best English from me, but, you know, working on Spanish. I just jumped in and started doing something. That's kind of how I do things. Another place we worked on was painting walls at what's called the pastor's house, and the pastor's house is full of retired pastors. you think I'm old, these guys are old. So, and they're retired, and we got to love them and paint and move stuff. The one widow lady there, oh, it was hard. It was really hard cleaning out her room. I don't think she understood why we were cleaning out her room and, you know, trying to put stuff back and paint the room. And some of the team members went and bought some fancy things for her to put on the wall and just loved on her. And it was time for me to walk out of the room because let them do that. So another the next thing, number three on my list, is prayer for those we met and the team. And first of all, thank you for everybody praying. So that's very important that you pray for us and praying for each other, but also praying for her, whoever we met. Like I said, praying for Mario quite a bit. And at the house, it was Rosita's house, and then the boy helped us. I got him to help on the wall a little bit. Julian, anyway, young man. And then his sisters, who's 19, she helped doing all kinds of stuff. She was amazing. Jennifer. So praying for those who we meet, which is a common practice. I think I told someone this morning, don't just people watch, prayer people watch. You know, so when you look out over people, it's like, oh, I don't know his needs very much, but I know other people's needs. And sometimes we just pray and God knows what's going on. So so praying is very important. That's what we do anyway. We do here, there, or wherever. And I'm okay with spiders, not so much if they're on my head. I wondered what I said that was so odd. It was a spider. Anyway, I love that lady. One of our sisters. Okay, now that I'm really off target here, let me grab my notes again. Let's see. You know, praying for each other, we get tired in a hurry or stuff just doesn't work out. And also there's the language barrier with the local church and even with ourselves. And consider this verse. Behold how good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. Behold how good and how pleasant. Anyway, forget that. I don't have my guitar. And unity is what we need. I as far as I know, nobody got overly frustrated with each other, and God smoothed it out. So thank you for praying. And we want unity. We want to dwell together in unity. So anyway, the fourth thing on here is sharing the good news of salvation. And I want to ask you, how do you do that? How do you share the good news? How do you let your light shine? You know, how do I do it? Well, I'm not only a calculator cripple, I'm a outline cripple. That's why I'm clinging to my notes so hard. But I use an outline called the Wordless Book, and gold reminds me of heaven. And you can't get in if you have darkness or sin in your life. God loves us and wants us to go to heaven. So I use this Wordless Book, and I can give a seminar on this on another day, I suppose. Anyway, so that's how I do it. But of course, I try to let my light shine and try to fight the sin. Try not to sin so often. Sin less often. Anyway, that's how I share it. And let me tell you about Jennifer again. Wonderful young lady. So things slowed down on the job site, and I sat down with her, and I pulled out one of these little booklets and tried to share the Wordless Book with her. You know, here's the gospel. And she didn't speak very much English, a little bit, but she's very smart. Many ways. And what she did this time to show us how smart she was, she pulled out her computer phone, whatever you call these things, and she got this translator program, and I would speak into the phone, and things would, and so we worked through it. It was pretty cool, and not sure what all she understood, and I was frustrated that I didn't have my Spanish, you know, paperwork so that I could just give it to her and have her read it. And so I was frustrated back at the motel. I found it. It was actually with me the whole time. So the next day, I'm with Alejandro, and he's a young college student, and he speaks a lot of English, and so I'm going to teach him about the wordless book so he can explain the gospel better. Okay, I didn't know much about him or if he's an evangelist or who knows, but I brought it out and was talking to him, and then Jennifer came over again. Ooh. And she ended up with a paper in her hand, and she ended up reading, and those two kept talking a lot, and I would ask Alejandro, what'd she say? What's going on? And so it was really, really cool. So she heard the gospel again. And so that was one of the great things. So like point four is sharing the good news of salvation. And so that next day was really, really cool. I'm going to finish with about this story about Jennifer with this, that there's a verse that talks about some plant, some water, and some reap the harvest. God's the one that caused the growth. I don't know if someone else is going to talk about the harvest. Well, a day or two later, she got saved. I wasn't there. You know, so that was the highlight of the trip. Hallelujah, Lord. Blessed be your name. So, let's see here. So then there were other outreaches at the park and going door to door, which was interesting, going with some bald guy, you know, and trying to speak the English and the Spanish. How many more pages? How much time have I got? Okay, what's that? I'm about to be hooked? Gosh. I love you, man. I'll skip down here to the bottom then. Laying down my life most of the time is by how I'm spending my time. It's not dying. We prayed for the persecuted church. But most of the time, it's laying down my time and my inability to speak in front of a group with a microphone. You know, I'm okay with that. It's awkward. It's difficult. But I'm laying down my pride. I really appreciated the song earlier, Where's Wade? He's back there. You know, the song about the fear going away. You know, it's like, okay, I got fear, but I'm standing in God's love. I have less fear. I have less fear to going on a mission trip. I know that God's big enough for the job. He's gonna use me in spite of me. I'll try to get better at using a microphone and talking to people and try to get better at my Spanish. Try to get better at the bottom line is trying to love one another as I have been loved. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. My name is Mark. I think most of you know me. I have the privilege of helping serve in the ministry, a mission ministry with Miguel and Rob. And it was a blessing to go on this trip with this team and what God had put together. You'll hear their stories and that. A little bit later, but I'd like to start off with a verse out of the Bible. It's Mark 6, chapter 16, verse 15. He said to them, "Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creations." And I sort of take this at heart a little bit. When the reason that I actually go on mission trips is because that's where I do most of my growth with Jesus. That's how I can sort of my life. I can take it up to the next level. When I'm out in the mission trip, the Holy Spirit is working through me. My communication with Jesus is different. I'm able to leave everything here sort of behind. It's just the whole communication, and as Jesus uses me, and he sort of stretches me a little bit and gets me in these uncomfortable situations, I'm able to just turn everything over to him and just rely on him, that he's not going to put me into a situation that he isn't going to take control or handle. So anything that he asks me to do, I'm pretty much willing to get up there to do. And I say pretty much because I won't give a message, Rob. Okay. But this was a life-changing trip for me. You know, there again, working with this team. It was really one of the first teams that I've taken out into the field, and was there. Taking five women to Walmart is sort of life changing. I took five women shopping at Walmart, and that was a task in itself. But I've learned to turn everything over to Jesus. This is something that probably took me a year and a half or 2 years that I sort of fought and not wanting to turn everything over to Him. And by going on these mission trips, I've learned that I just need to just give Him everything here. If He puts on my heart to go serve, He is going to take care of whatever situations are here, despite what's going on. And that took me a while to learn and to understand. And I still struggle with that when I'm out in the field. I'll be honest with you, I still struggle with it. I own a business, and it's sort of hard to sort of leave that behind. But I know God's going to take care of everything. So, I'd like to sort of touch base a little bit on. I've had people come up to me and talk to me a little bit on why they don't want to go on a mission trip, you know. And I think one of the bigger things that I hear from people on why they don't want to go is the money situation. How am I going to raise the money? What am I going to do? Okay? God will supply the funds if He's put it on your heart to go. Okay? There was, for instance, on this trip here, Rob had a gentleman knock on his door and give him $1,500 the day before we took off on the trip and said, bless somebody with this. There was another, we were out looking at, next time we plan on, we're praying about going back down there. We went over to this gentleman's house, Kevin, which I think you'll probably hear about a little bit later. He's in a wheelchair. And we had some money left over, and we were going to build a bathroom outside for him. He's got a toilet and a 55-gallon drum that they keep water in, and they burn their trash right next to the toilet. So we were going to change that for them and put in a shower and some running water and all that. And there was some money left over from the fund from everyone that was generous in donating. But as soon as we left that house, Rob got another call from a couple that said, hey, I'm supposed to send you some money. And so those people sent some money down right away, and we were able to bundle that with what money was left over to help Kevin and them and get started on that project out in the field, out on his bathroom. So God will supply your funds if you decide to go. Don't let that be a deciding factor. Also, Pastor Rob has a huge heart. If you decide to go on a mission trip and you can't raise the funds, the church is not. The church will help you out. We'll figure a way to get you there. Okay. The other thing is that I hear from a lot of people is that we're too busy, right? We got too many things going on. I've got this to take care of. I got this started. And I think that follows back to that part of trusting God and just turning it all over to Him, knowing that if He's put on your heart to go out into the field, that He's going to take care of what needs to be done, okay? One thing, He might be asking you to get out of the way so He can take care of it. That might be the big obstacle. A lot of times that's the obstacle with me, is that sometimes I'm in His way trying for Him to try and get something done. I'm sitting here praying about it. It seems like it's not getting done. I'm trying to handle it. When I finally beat myself up enough and get exhausted and get out of the way, He takes care of it. And then I look at Him and I said, was that it? That's how easy it was? And it was. I just had to get out of the way so He could take care of it, right? And so by going on a mission trip, sometimes you just got to get out of your own way so He can take care of things for you, okay? One thing I would ask is that you guys pray on when we can possibly go back down there. This is a very loving community. It's a very needing community. There's a lot of people down there. They're very open to us. They're just the church down there was established about 20 years ago. And it's an amazing group of people down there that are outreaching into this community and spreading God's word. And I just pray that we can go back down there and walk alongside them and help spread the gospel. So I'd like to leave you with another verse here out of Proverbs 3:5-6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path." Okay, thank you.
Okay, first, sweetheart, if I start rambling, give me the sign. Thank you. The El Salvador trip for me is probably best described, I came up with this word, gobsmacked, and it's a UK term that means astonished, in wonder, speechless, and I changed it to God-smacked, because that's supernatural what he can do. And the Lord Jesus is always putting you in wonder. So that's the best way I can describe it. To start off, I looked in the scriptures and said, you know, what best describes what happened? And I found Matthew 13:16. And it says, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." And I said, wow. That's exactly what happened to me every day down in El Salvador. I saw and heard the joy of the Salvadorian people. I saw and heard the joy of the mission team that was down there as they went and did everything. I saw and heard, well, let me say this. I saw the smiles and heard the ladies who fed us every day. That was just miraculous. I also saw and heard the joy of the children when we had the children come to do the puppet shows and so forth. And I saw and heard Jesus and the Holy Spirit every day and every night that I was there. One particular ministry stood out to me more than any others, and it was the men's prison. I was asked to go to the men's prison and give my testimony. That was quite the ordeal. Okay, and what I saw with my eyes as I went to the men's ministry, the first thing that struck me is I saw a few prisoners, and they were in bright bleach white T-shirts and short pants. So, wow, and there were a few of them in this yard, and they were working. So they led us around this building and to where we were going to be seated. And all of a sudden, I saw thousands of prisoners all standing there. It was a sight that I never thought I'd see in my life. They were standing there with their arms raised high, and I'm saying thousands, okay, raised high, worshiping the Lord Jesus with all they had. I was like, wow. And you could just hear them singing with such passion. I mean, miraculous. It was absolutely miraculous. And the Lord put it on my heart to pray for those prisoners. And so I started praying and praying for those prisoners. And as I looked at them, I saw myself amongst them. Pretty odd feeling. So then they asked me to come up and give my testimony, which probably was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. And it caused me to have to be vulnerable, which is not me. I'm not that kind of person. But the Lord changed me, and he made me that person. So I was able to give my testimony. And as I gave my testimony, let me put this back. I call it the boomerang effect. The boomerang effect hit me, and hit me really hard, because all the prisoners, 1,000 prisoners, started praying for us. Just Mark and George and Miguel. So they just started praying like crazy for us. And it changed me. It changed me big time. The next thing we had is we were asked, would you like to hand out them some cakes and shake their hands? So what? Yeah. So thousands of prisoners came through, and we shook and thanked them for listening to us, and gave them some cakes, which was another miraculous part, which took me to the scriptures again to find, wow, how did this happen? I mean, this is not real. And it did. It said Luke 6, 37 and 38. It says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure you will see, it will be given back to you. That pretty much explained exactly what happened. So, to everybody here today, and I haven't got the high sign yet, to everybody today, if you have the opportunity to go on a life-changing mission with the Lord Jesus, just do it. Get God smacked. Thank you.
Hello again. This isn't my first time up here after a mission trip. I can't believe they asked me to come back. I wrote out my thing on paper. Luckily, I wasn't the only one that wrote it out this time. So here we go. I'm sorry if I look haggard, and if some of this is out of chronological order, because I was up really late last night writing this. After Rob told us that we were going to speak, I didn't really know what I was going to say or if I was going to say anything, because I didn't think I had anything worth saying. And then I realized that was really stupid, because I always have something to say. It's like my thing to say things. I'm not really shy. To start with saying things, I'll read a Bible verse for you. And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. That is what Jesus said in Luke 10:27, and that is the epitome of the people in the church in El Salvador. No matter what language you spoke, what you looked like, or what weird American things you did, someone was always there to walk up and hug you and welcome you in. It was so full of the love of Jesus and the love of others that I swear it could be like 2 degrees and hailing, and it would still feel just like the warmest summer day. Specifically, I want to talk about this narrative of there being a woman there, and we were doing a project for her. Her name was Rosa. She is going to come up on the screen at some point. She's about this big, and we got kind of close over my week there. She was struggling really bad, and yet every day she came to the church that we stayed at, and she welcomed us, and she took care of us with all the kindness of somebody that you've known forever. One day, everybody was out. It was just kind of me and my sister, and I'd stay behind with them to watch her. And this could be the start of a really awkward story about me just kind of sitting around on my phone awkwardly because I didn't know how to speak with anybody. But it wasn't, because the ladies who took care of us, including Rosa, loved on Madison so, so much during this trip, you would not believe it. They brought her out into the courtyard, and they put her feet on a chair, and they braided her hair, and they called her beautiful. And so while the mission groups were gone, I brought out some snacks to share, and we had a lovely little afternoon speaking in broken Spanish and English, and using Google Translate or charades. and sometimes laughing because I may have accidentally told them I wanted to eat garbage mango peels for dinner. A little later, I was in the sanctuary practicing for the worship service that evening, and I was freaking out because a day prior, I had been told, hey, we want you to sing with us. Also, two of the songs are half sung in Spanish, and the other one is fully in Spanish. Do you want to sing? And I was like, I can't speak Spanish, but I also can't pass up this opportunity, so let's go. And I was left listening to the songs on repeat, trying to figure out how to pronounce everything correctly, when in walks Rosa. And we hadn't really spoken more than a buenos dias to each other and the garbage thing, and yet here she was, sat down next to me, singing along and clarifying the words I struggled with. And about 15 minutes later, I was completely ready to sing, and she got up and went back to her work. There were lots of little moments like these. During one afternoon, I walked up to Jeannie, who is not here today, Sunday, who is here today, hello, wherever you are, and Rosa, and they were all sitting together and laughing and laughing. And they called me over and they said, hey, can we use your Google Translate on your phone? And I went, okay. So I gave Rosa the phone, and into it she spoke, I am not sure what they are trying to say, but it sounds special, thank you. On another occasion, we gave her some mosquito nets for her and her children to use, and not 10 minutes later, everyone was taking turns walking each other down the aisle and singing the wedding march as the nets were just all over our backs, and we got videos of it. I don't think I got to send them to the thing, but we will show you if you want to ask. I laughed so hard I cried. It was so funny. But since I've been home, I've gotten a few messages from Rosa, including this morning, wishing me a blessed morning or a lovely day, and it just makes my heart sing every time I get one. Rosa, I did not get the chance to work on your house, but you worked in my heart, and I'm so glad to call you my friend. And pardon me for my pronunciation here, but te extraño y no puedo esperar a verte de nuevo. I miss you, and I cannot wait to see you again. About 2 days before we left, I was in the bathroom brushing my teeth before bed. Everyone else was in their rooms. Mom, Leslie, and Maddie were probably singing The Lion Sleeps Tonight to the beat of our loose ceiling fan. You can ask Chuck about that one. It's his favorite story. He told everyone on the plane. As I was rinsing my toothbrush with my water bottle, I was giggling to myself, and I was thinking about my family down there and the friends I had made and all the goofy things we had done that day, and I looked up into the mirror, and I just saw tears streaming down my face, and I didn't expect it, and then I had to spend like 10 minutes calming myself down because I realized I didn't want to go. I wanted to stay. I wanted to be with the people down there. And Chuck told me at the beginning of the trip, he didn't even have to look at me to feel the turmoil and anxiety that I was experiencing. But by about day 3, he said he didn't sense it anymore. It was gone, and it was replaced with just this peace. And it wasn't just me, though. Chuck, I don't mean to pick on you, but it's payback. I got to come clean with you about something, actually. I honestly didn't know that you were on the trip the first few days. It probably didn't help that you were working on Rosa's house and I was out doing other things, but it was like I was blind to you. But after you came back from the prison ministry, it was, I don't know, it was like you were a different person. I remember seeing you and you sat down and I thought, wow, when did that guy get here? He looks so bright. And I think a little bit of this happened to everyone. But I don't have time to share it all. But just being surrounded by all that love, kind of, I feel like it just heals you. And it's kind of ironic that I'm saying this last, because I actually thought of this bit first when I was writing, but I put it at the end because if you get anything out of what I'm saying up here today, I wanted it to be this. If you are feeling sad or lonely or like you don't have anything of worth to offer anyone anymore, will you consider coming with us on the next time we go? Will you let these people love you? And will you help us love others? There's this funny physics problem that I've discovered on these trips and that I think scientists should kind of research more because it's really weird, that if you pour out the love of Jesus into somebody else's cup, your own cup doesn't empty, it fills. If your cup is full, it fills more, and if your cup is empty, Jesus will supplement and then add to it. Whether it's to El Salvador or to the orphanage in Mexico, or the mobile response unit responding to local crises, or to the neighbor sitting next to you, will you come with us and will you pour out into other people?
Well, that was a great plug. My first thought is, man down, man down, man down. We got back. The whole time we were there, it felt like we had spiritual warfare going on because we just lost one person after another, sometimes two at a time. In fact, my niece Georgina, she said to me on, I think it's the fourth day, she called me up. She goes, Shelley, I missed you. And I said, what? She was at work during the week. And I said, why? She goes, well, you didn't call me. I mean, doesn't anybody have to go to the hospital today? Good point. But so we get back, and Madison was supposed to speak, and we were rehearsing it, but she doesn't feel good today, so we're not chancing it. Madison is the young lady in a wheelchair right there in the left corner. Right there. Oh, my gosh. God's timing is so perfect. So there's Maddie, and my first thought is, if anyone here tells me they cannot go on a mission trip because they have medical problems, Madison, she is the epitome. She has been struggling a lot the last few months. In fact, I didn't think we were going to be able to go. But not only did she go, and this is Maddie's story, but she did one of the most amazing things there. And so her verse that she wanted to share was 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So Madison, at one point we went to and planned on spending all day at the retired pastor's home. And it is a home, I would say at one point this building was beautiful and amazing. The tile work is just gorgeous. The tables that they have in the dining room are cemented in with tile on top, but the tile's kind of breaking and things aren't as nice as it used to be. And there are some pastors there that are retired, and they're losing cognitive skills. They're losing... they're incontinent. They're one gentleman every day decides that he's going to go home, packs his bags, and heads out. And so they have to lock the, it's kind of like a compound, they have to lock the doors so that he can't escape. And it will break your heart. It will break your heart. One thing that they don't have is visitors. They don't have many visitors. Our sister church will be going there once a month because a few people from our church are now contributing to the pastor's home. So our sister church down in Iglesia Verbo, they'll be going there and taking food to them monthly. But they really don't have anybody to visit and talk with. And now remember, these are pastors who like to talk. And I'm not pointing any fingers or, you know, but... So these are pastors who like to talk, and they like to feel needed, and they were needed. All their lives they have been giving and giving and giving to the congregation, and now they're in this place, and it's up to the churches to kind of support it and send food. So they're reliant on any volunteer donations. So the first thing that happened, we took my sister Denora, sister-in-law Denora, and the ladies that were helping us, Ide, Yanni, and I think there was one other lady that went with us, and Rosa went too, and then Madison, and they sat up underneath in the shade, and one of the pastors came out. This is the one with the dementia that wants to go home every day, and he sat his chair in the middle of the grass facing them and brought his Bible, and I'm not kidding you, they had a three-hour Bible study. And singing songs, laughing, and just, it was just, the songs were just beautiful. And I thought the ladies were going to help us clean and paint, but no, they went there to just visit with the pastors. And I just love that. And Madison joined in. So 2 hours into it, I went and asked her if she was doing okay. And she said, yeah, Mom, I can't understand them very well, but I sure like the music. And she just sat there for the whole day and visited with the pastors, and a couple of the other pastors came out and sat down too. So that was just amazing. But what Madison did that day change someone's perspective in life. So one of the pastors is, he's getting old and he's losing control of a lot of things. And Madison went down and Miguel was interpreting for him. And I wish Madison was here because she has the, and, you know, she has all the facial expressions. And so she found out that he was embarrassed by some of the things that he has to do now. And so she wheeled on over to him and she says, "So, my name is Madison," and they introduced themselves. And she said, "You know, I've got a disability, but I'm not worthless. Do you think I'm worthless?" And he says, "No, I don't think you're worthless," of course, in Spanish. And she says, "I know, I'm not worthless because I'm a prayer warrior." And then she did this. And that pastor broke down crying and it was good tears, and gave her a hug. And then she proceeded to tell him, "You're not worthless either. You have a disability. I have a disability. But that doesn't mean God doesn't love us." And I'll tell you what, not a dry eye in that little group. So I'm here to say that even if you're in a wheelchair, even if you think I have nothing to give, you can give time. You can sit and listen, even when you don't understand a word they're saying, and smile because that's what they needed. Or you can show them that being disabled is not a, it's not a curse. And that girl, let me tell you, there were always a plethora of what she calls her princes that picked her up and carried her upstairs and down the stairs. And, you know, they don't have wheelchair ramps around. They don't have to have wheelchair ramps. So a lot of times we got to places and I'm like, "Oh, great, how are we going to do this?" And Maddie's like, "Mom." She was a little concerned coming down one of the steps. And so all the guys got in front and all of our men got in front and just kind of made sure that nobody was going to fall going down the steps. It was something else. But anyway, I am going to make this part really short because I'm not going to cry today. I'm just not. I have my own story. That one was Madison's. My own story is about me having a pity party. I went down to El Salvador, didn't think I was going to get to go, and I saw that Miguel was going and everybody's going, and I thought, you know what, I'm going and I'm going to take my kids with me if I have to drug them. And because they were having problems. So when we got down there, I was still a little bit on my little pity party, and gosh, everybody's just taking care of themselves, and I have to take care of my crew. And I remembered the last time when the guys went down on the mission trip to find projects for us, they came back and talked about the disabled boy and said that he had troubles going to the bathroom. And so they left him a portable toilet. And I thought, I want to meet that. God put it on my heart. I want to meet that young man. Well, the first Sunday we're there, before the rest of the second part of the team got down, Kevin came with his mom, and he's got this white, bright shirt on, and she's, you know, all dressed to the hilt. And I saw him in the back of the, you know, back of the church, and I thought, huh, well, they're a little better off than I thought. And when I went to go see them, they had already left, and I assumed they left in a car. So I found out halfway through, oh, no, they actually come via wheelchair, and she pushes him. And I thought, okay, I really want to see that. And so Georgina kept telling me every day, we can't see him today because, you know, we got this to do, but we will make time for it. Sunday comes, and Georgina comes up to me, and she says, if you want to see Kevin's house, we're going to have to go today. And they didn't come to church that day. So she found out that the little girl had been kind of sick, and so they didn't come. So we got a team together, Rob and Mark and Miguel and Leslie and I and Denora and Georgina, because she's my interpreter. We all went to the house. It was not what I expected. It was a 30-minute wheelchair push from on dirt, dusty roads. Picture, if anybody's ever been over to Eastern Oregon, the thick dust that when you go through it, it just kind of, well, that's what this was. These roads were bad, potholes, and she's been pushing him to church for 30 minutes every day. And I don't know if there it is. It was right behind there. That's the house. That was Kevin. That was his mom. And they get into their property by a swinging metal, metal siding, I guess. And I got in there, and I went into the house, and I'm thinking, one light bulb. There's no running water inside the house. So when you go to take a bath or sponge bath, I guess, you have to go outside and stand next to the kitchen sink, or you use a water from the big barrel that Mark was talking about. The barrel sits next to the toilet, and then you go to the bathroom, and you use the water from the barrel to flush the toilet because there's no running water to the toilet. The burn pile, Miguel explained to me, was for their toilet paper. They burn their toilet paper next to the toilet. And Kevin couldn't get to that spot. He had to go out in the driveway where you first came in, next to their outdoor kitchen sink, and that's where his mom would bathe him. Then we started getting personal and talking about, the difficulties that we might have as being a mom. And she one-upped me on every single thing that I did. And I can't tell you how many people come up to me during a week and say, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. Well, she makes me look like I have maids in waiting. I'm telling you, this woman is my superhero. Her name is Ruth. And her son, Kevin, is paralyzed from the waist down. And he has problems with going to the bathroom, and so a lot of those times her and Kevin get very soiled, and I'm sure you can picture this, but there's cement floors, no water, not rich enough to have handy wipes. There's the water bucket, toilet right there. We're talking outside, by the way, and there's a cloth that goes over it. There's where they burn their toilet paper. And Kevin can't get to that spot. There's their one, that's the, what's it called, electrical box? One switch. That's it for the whole place. One switch. And I'm telling you right now, if you think you have troubles, you don't have them like this family. That family is, they're superheroes. And her and I hugged and cried, and we're praying for each other now. She's a good friend now. I'm going to go back there, and I'm going to see Kevin, and I'm going to see what we made. By the time I got back around, after we talked about it, our guys, God is so good. Our guys had already taken all the measurements. They decided we're going to put in cement. We're going to have a ramp here. This is where the shower goes in. And when we counted the money, Mark didn't say this, but we had all the receipts going in every day, every day, every day. And when it got to the end, we had $700 extra that we had no idea where it came from. It just appeared in our pile. And, of course, that's going to help with the shower and stuff. So I hope 17 people out of a church this size, I want to take down 30 next time. How's that? All right. Thank you so much for listening to my blubbering.
You can all go seat. You can go be seated. Oh, thank you. All right. I've got 2 minutes and 2 pages. I think we're going to expedite this very quickly, and I'm just going to change up what we're doing real fast. I want you to know a few details, because I like details. I think they matter a lot. We had $1,700 left for Kevin's house. The gentleman who called doesn't go to our church. He was gone through the chaplain program and called me that same day and said, my wife and I heard you're in El Salvador. We really want to give some money. what are you doing? And I just walked through Kevin's house and I said, well, this is it. And I think I need $1,500 more to finish this project and get these kids. And he says, done. When do I bring it? And God just does stuff like that. They had no idea. They didn't know what we were doing or what we needed. It was there. It's done. I hope that project's done before we get back so they can start enjoying it. At the prison, 4,500 men, 1,000 men sitting in chairs in the front who had apparently earned the favor and had proven themselves to be worthy to not be locked up. The rest of them in cells behind them in bars. 4,500 men hearing the gospel, hearing the testimony. Pastor George, who's not here today because he got some of the same stuff many of us got, he did a great job, preached two or three messages at least while we were there, one of them being at the prison. And the impact on people is amazing. I had an opportunity, was hearing in the morning as we were doing devotionals that the ladies were invited all of a sudden to go to a church with predominantly ladies that had gone through a lot of trauma and difficulty and abuse and things. And the Lord just started giving me pieces, and I started writing down a message very quickly and handed it off to Shelly and said, I think this is what you're supposed to say. And then the ladies came back about 10 minutes before we were there, we drive away, and said, I think you're supposed to come and preach the message. So I got in the car, and we went and preached the message and just watched God do some amazing things in people's lives. And this is what happens over and over again. So when you hear the projects, when you hear what's happening to us, I hope you'll also hear that the people that we ministered to were touched by Jesus. I mean, they were touched in so many different ways. That last Sunday we were there, and I got to preach Sunday morning on Revelation 4 and 5, two of my favorite chapters. The church was double its normal size. It was just a packed house that day, and it was great. And we got to preach about the love of Jesus and impact people. And Patty, who's not here today, or is Patty here? Patty's not here. No. Patty got to walk around with Brian and myself, and I said, Patty, I want to go do door-to-door evangelism and invite people to an event. She's like, my Spanish is rusty, but I'll give it a shot. And we walked around door-to-door and talked to people and talked to them about the love of Jesus, and they came to church on Sunday. And I want you to know that people are impacted in El Salvador just as we are impacted here forever. People who love the Lord and got reinvigorated, people who had never met the Lord and just needed to hear there is a God who loves them so much that he would send his only son into the world to die for them, that if they'd receive him, they'd be saved, their sins would be wiped out, and they would have eternal life. And I just want to give you this out of Daniel real quick. When Daniel was getting all the visions and dreams and pieces that he would get, he was told in Daniel 11:40 that these parts that were just given to him were for the last days, for the end of days. And I believe pretty strongly that we're in that place. And then it continues, and you get to Daniel 12:2-3, and I just want to read this, and it says, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. And we're talking about the bodies of those who have died. Well, their bodies are going to be resurrected. That's what he's telling them. But he goes on to say, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Stark realities. Daniel's getting this vision. He's being told, he says, look, there is coming a day, Daniel. There's coming a day. It's not in your time. It's at the end of time. And in that time, I'm going to call, and everybody who has ever been born, who has died, their bodies are going to rise up out of the grave. He says, but there's going to be two camps. There's going to be two groups. And we know from the Bible that one group will be a large group, because large is the and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to Jesus Christ and eternal life, and few people will find it. And so he's saying to Daniel, hey, look, in that day, the record will be very clear. There'll be some who will rise to everlasting life, eternal with God in heaven. And there'll be many, many more who are going to be in outer darkness away from God because they've rejected him and his only means of salvation. And then he gives this piece here. And this is the piece, hopefully, that speaks to you and I as we're thinking about this. Why go on a mission trip? Why do mission here? Why do mission there? Why do mission anywhere? Why? Why should we approach this thought? And he says, And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. How do you become wise? You receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But there's wisdom that goes even in and beyond. It's that then those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. It's the call for us now to share the same message which saved us. To go and to tell people about Jesus Christ. To go and tell them because we are the wise ones, not because of our own wisdom, but because we've come to understand that Jesus has come into the world to seek and save those who are lost. And so here's his call. And the question I would have is, are we the wise ones? Are we the wise ones? Will we be shining like the stars forever because we're the ones who went out and told other people of the gospel? It's so important. I'm really truncating literally two pages of notes here because I want to do this quickly. I was reading an article entitled The U.S. Hispanic Protestant Church Sees Growth in Membership and Outreach Efforts. It's from Lifeway Research Survey. It goes on to say that 86% of Hispanic churches in the United States started after 2000. That's roughly 23 years. It says that 35% under the age in those groups are under the age of 30, and 38% are between the ages of 30 and 49, so younger groups of people. And 32% of those churches have grown in the last 3 years. And I found that really interesting as I'm reading this because the Hispanic churches are growing. And you know what they do that's different than us? First of all, in culture, they're much more family-oriented. They're community and family-oriented. It's easy as Americans to kind of pull back and isolate and get in our own little bubble and actually try to keep people out of the bubble. The Hispanic culture doesn't do that. We're all family. And in some ways, I'm very envious of that. But it goes on to say some of the things that they're doing in the outreach efforts. And here's it. It says the people are inviting other people to join them. The pastors are regularly saying to the congregation, would you invite somebody to church? Let's make a day, every day, you invite people to church. Do what you can. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in. And so they invite people to church. They're sharing church activities on their social media and asking others to come with them to the event. So they're simply sharing the events and inviting more people using social media. They're hosting community programs such as toy drives, food and clothing collection and distribution. They're hosting special children's events such as Vacation Bible School, Fall Festivals, Children Easter events. And church members are sharing the gospel with the lost, and they're getting together in teams, and they're doing door-to-door evangelism in the United States. Now, it's interesting because that last one in particular, people say you can't do door-to-door evangelism in the United States. They'll think you're a Mormon. Well, tell them you're not, you know. And they're going door-to-door, knocking and sharing the gospel and inviting people to church and putting together special events and making it open to them. This is mission right here in front of you. Maybe you say, I can't go. I've got some dietary issues. I've got some health issues. I've got whatever it is. And I'll tell you what, every health issue should be off the board because we had an eclectic group of people with health issues, and the Lord Jesus Christ provided like you can't even imagine. And I think it was our love for the people inside of our group who had health issues, which spoke volumes even to the people we were with. The ladies who cooked in the kitchen, they had made a comment that said, you know, normally when people come for whatever reason, we're treated like the staff, but you guys immediately treated us like family. Like, you love us. And it's that love that pierces hearts. It removes barriers and obstacles. And I just want to ask you, I want to say to you now, are you one who is wise in sharing the same news that set you free with others? Folks, the time is coming to an end. I really believe it. I wish I could share with you all this message I have. I'm just scrolling through my notes going, nope, better not do that. But I want you to know this. If you can go with us, go. Next week, there's a meeting right afterwards for disaster relief. You can come to the meeting. In June, we're going to the orphanage. It's a really easy trip. You can go with us in Mexico and do that. But God has us on mission right here, right now. I hope the stories, the accounts, the things that went on inspire you to move. Because there is a final day. There is a day when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be told by the Father, go get your church. Go get your bride. Bring them up here. And I got to tell you, when the dead in Christ rise, it's going to be shocking, I think. Those who are in Jesus, man, we're going to rejoice and celebrate. And those who are not, I think there's going to be a lot of tears. I want to be one. I know you want to be one who shares the kingdom with everybody who will hear. Will you join me, even if we don't do another mission trip to El Salvador in the next week or two, will you join me on being mission-minded right now? Let's pray. Let's invite the worship team up. And then we're going to separate today. Boy, that is the shortest message I have ever preached in my life. Yeah. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you for this church family. Lord, we're not here to put on a performance. I'm not here to entertain anybody. I'm not here to meet everybody's whims and desires and needs. Father, we're here to worship you, to give you glory. We have done nothing deserving of salvation, not a single thing. And you have loved us with an everlasting love that is indescribable. And we just want to give you praise and glory, Lord. You say to stir one another up. And I pray today, God, that that's what you've done inside of this church body. You've stirred us up into love and good works, to preaching the gospel in all places, to joining the rescue mission. Lord, have your way with us. Use us according to your will. And let your name be known everywhere. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.
Okay. All right. Well, we want to respond in worship. We're just going to do one song here at the end. If you want to stand with us, and we'll respond, and we'll sing this song about Jesus being the way. Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress, that you are my portion, and you are my hiding place. Oh, I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe through every blessing, through every promise, through every breath I take, I believe that you are provided, that you are protector, that you are the one I love. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. Set on you, and you meet me here today. Mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come to, because they can't stay long when I'm here with you. And it's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. Set a new home. All my fears and doubts, they can all come to, because they can't stay long when I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the light.
new horizon, yet I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All our fears and doubts, they can all come to, because they can't stay long when I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but through you. And so we thank you, Jesus. We praise you for today. Thank you for the great reports of just all the good stuff happening in the world, Lord, that you have your hands and feet out there, and that we get to be your hands and feet and share the love of Jesus with a lost and hurting world. God, we thank you. Thank you for bringing all of our missionaries home safe. And pray, Lord, for their recovery, as some of them are not feeling well, a little under the weather. Pray that you would bless them with healing, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you and look forward to what you're going to continue to do in your church today and always, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to... Microphone? There we are. We're going to have refreshments out there, and in about 30 minutes, we're going to come back in 12:15, and we're going to celebrate Jan Backman's life. I hope you'll stay around and grab something to eat first, but I'd like to pray over you at this time, if you would bow your heads and hearts. May you walk in the Spirit, experiencing the fullness of the joy of the Lord, shining as a light in a lost world, standing firm in your faith, testifying to your family, friends, and community by your love for God and for others. May your fellowship with the Holy Spirit and your ability to hear the voice of our great shepherd, and your daily transformation to be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus, overflowing you in every moment until you see him face to face and eternally see him in all of his glory to forever enter into his rest. And all God's people said, amen. Be blessed.